time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up on this Wednesday, April 27th. Caleb Johnson and with my co-host Joe Patrick. Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I think I'm doing a little bit better than the Braves here as of recent.
Well, I wouldn't take much.
Right, I know, exactly right. Eyes are healthy, first of all, and we'll get into that. But yeah, it's been a little bit of a rough go here, Caleb, and I gotta say that I was very much like in the don't panic boat a few weeks ago. And I gotta say that, that was before the start of the season, but you know, as of even last week, starting to change a little bit. Not saying I'm panicking, but I'm starting to, I think, adjust my priors, as they say in the political realm. I'm starting to kind of reassess what this team is, try to take an honest view of where the team is struggling and what its outlook is for the rest of the season, especially with the Mets kind of running away from the rest of the NL East right now.
Yeah, so Joe, you know, you and I do sports flashes here at the station, and whenever I'm writing mine, I try to find some little nugget of information that I can include that's just not the common thought or whatever. And when I was writing my flashes today, the Braves have not won a series since opening weekend. Like, that's just hard to believe. Like, the fact that it's been this long that they're kind of, they're doing that, win a couple, but in a four-game series, or drop really frustrating ones like they did to the Miami Marlins, that had, I think, last night's performance, beating the Cubs, it had John Fricke so excited this morning. He was talking about the Braves have a chance to win the series, and I was like, hold on now, it's just game one.
Yeah.
And the problem is I was asked over the weekend, like, hey, what do you think is the Braves' problem right now? And I honestly turned to the person, I said, pick one.
Yeah,
honestly.
Everything?
Yeah. Well, and that's not how you would normally feel about a reigning world champion team.
Right.
A reigning world champion team that didn't just like sell for parts kind of thing, like that mostly brought back the same roster. It honestly, it's a bit eerily similar to the Atlanta Hawks, who last year went on a magical run that ended in the Eastern Conference Finals. They brought back pretty much the same exact team, swapped a couple of parts. And then as most people, you know, who keep up with Atlanta sports saw, they were out in the first round.
Regular season feels boring after that, right?
Yeah. Well, and basketball plays half the games that Major League Baseball does, which is honestly, which is, you know, for everyone who was in my mentions last week, I came with a little hot take and something that I'm still kind of sticking with, as far as, you know, the Braves needing to make some changes in the outfield. Now they don't have much of a choice, as we'll get into in a bit. But I had everyone in my mentions being like, are you serious? The Braves are 14 games in, you know, like, how are you already panicking? And it's like, well, because I see things that could linger.
Mm-hmm.
I see things that can't just get immediate change. And that concerns me. You know, it concerns me at the fact of you pretty much have who you have in the starting rotation. You have who you have in the bullpen. You pretty much have who you have in the lineup out in the field. And yet you keep just seeing different things that that are red flags on top of having some really, really positive aspects to think of. You know, Matt Olson's been great this year.
Yeah.
Ozzie Albies, incredible season so far. I think he's tied for leading the league in home runs. You know, it's just
leads the league in solo homers.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a fact. I think every homer that he's hit has been a solo homer.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, you know, that's the Braves theme, isn't
it?
Yeah. Of, I think it was, two nights ago, you know, against the Marlins, that they finally hit a home run. Austin Riley hit a home run with somebody on base that was just like, oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. So a lot of things to be concerned about. And yet, Joe, there's like still the positive light of, hey, Ronald Acuña is right around the corner.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Already at Truist Field, made his appearance and was taking pictures with Dale Murphy's grandkids, you know,
yeah,
just like all around great. Good feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, just how we are reacting to the Braves' start to the season and them kind of sputtering. And it's just a shock to the system. And I think it's a shock to the system because I think that the start to this season really opens our eyes to just how good the Braves were last year. And it didn't just start in the playoffs. It was the run to make the playoffs. Like, ever since that trade deadline, they all of a sudden became the best team in baseball. They played 6-11 baseball last year after in the second half, 44-28 overall. And I was just kind of spouting these stats off to you earlier. They were 44-28 in the second half. 17 of those 28 losses were by one run. They only lost by more than two runs like five times in the whole second half of last year. So that's just an insane period of results. And I think that for that reason, we're just not quite used to seeing what we're seeing here with the, you know, players making simple mistakes. And overall, I think it's just the inconsistency of the roster pretty much from top to bottom. I guess except for like Kenley Jansen and Austin Riley and maybe like a couple other players, pretty much everybody else has had periods that have really cost the team at times. And especially when you look at the rotation, Max Fried didn't get off to the greatest start to the season, though he's certainly rounding into form. Charlie Morton now kind of struggling as of his last few starts. When you are so inconsistent in so many areas, it just opens you up. It makes you vulnerable to losing in ways that we never saw this team lose last year. Last year, it seemed like they were the opposite of that. They were extremely consistent. They didn't often lose. Even when they did lose, it was often by one run, as I was just saying. So it's just, I think it's just a little bit of a shock to the system to see the team not just sputtering in terms of the results, but the way that it's happening, I think, is that's why I think people are kind of so panicky, and I'm getting there as well.
Well, and I also need to come with something, Joe, that is just a reality check for the Braves and for fans who are watching them. I've had a lot of people talk to me about, hey, you know, the Braves record right now is the exact same record they had last year at this point, you know, and then, you know, they weren't 500 until August, and, you know, the trade deadline really, you know, massively revamped this team, and I can't wait till we get to this year's trade deadline and we can go trade Miami for Jorge Soler and get Soler back, and, you know, all of these kinds of
yeah
all of these theories being thrown out here. And I honestly, I have a wake-up call. Like, that was last year, and the likelihood of repeating that is second to none. I mean, honestly, Joe, there's something that I think we need to come to grips with, which is Alex Anthopoulos pulling off highway robbery at the trade deadline isn't going to happen again.
Yeah.
Like, teams are going to be looking at Alex Anthopoulos and going, wait, why do you want this guy from us? He's not performing well. You want him? Either going to do one or two things. Either they're going to drive the price up and be like, well, if you like him so much, then, you know, we need this prospect from you or whatever. Or they're going to go, oh, Alex thinks this guy is going to turn it around? Maybe we hold on to him. Like, this idea that the Braves are just going to repeat what they did last year. The division sucked. The division was terrible last year. The Mets started off really hot and absolutely bombed. Now, plenty of people are like, hey, the Mets could do that very same thing again this year. And it's possible. However, they're pulling off what they're doing right now without their number one starter. And like the idea, you know, Jacob deGrom coming back full strength for them could cause them to be a very scary team. It seems like Francisco Lindor has figured out whatever struggles he was going through last year. And now the Braves aren't just going to be able to easily, you know, get, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 games behind and carry that on and then just have a hot second half of the season and turn things around. I just, I get so concerned at this idea of there's no need to worry because the Braves have figured it out before. Like, this isn't last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the standings right now from last year. What record do you think came in second place in the NL East last year? Do you have any guess what the record would have been? It was the Philadelphia Phillies who came in second last year.
So the Braves won 88 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see. The Phillies won, let's say they won 80 games.
They won 82. They were 82 and 80. So very close. I mean, you got one.
Okay.
Yeah. So 82. So I mean, the Braves, they won the division going away, you know, with a sweep over the Phillies in the second to last series of the season. And they still had, you know, by far, they had a worse record than the wild card teams in the National League overall over the course of the season. Sure. So all of that is to say is that you're right in that the Braves cannot rely on just like having the same trajectory as last year, you know, because if you do that, you're almost certainly not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Even if they did play 600 ball after the All-Star break and finish with 88 wins, you know, like that probably wouldn't get them in. So, I think you're right that it is a different year. You have to hold this team to a higher standard. And yes, while Ronald Acuña Jr. is out, and we know that he's obviously going to provide an impact, which we're going to talk about in a second, you're right that they are still playing essentially with most of the same parts that they won the World Series with last year. So there isn't really the excuse of, oh, well, we're just struggling because we need Ronnie to come back. He's certainly going to help, but, you know, they really should be winning more now. And one more stat to throw at you. You're talking about interesting stats about winning series and things like that. The Braves are 0-3 so far in rubber matches of series. So in their they've played three three-game series so far this year. In each of those series, they've split the first two and had a rubber match in the third one, in the third game, and they're 0-3. Last year in rubber matches in that same scenario, they were 13-5. So they've almost already like matched their losses in rubber matches from all of
over
last
the entire
year.
Season.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, so, like you were saying, the optimism is, you know, Ronald Acuña is going to come back and he's going to fix everything, right? You know, Joe?
Yeah.
He's just going to come back. He's going to hit a million home runs. He's going to steal a million bases and just fix all of the Braves' problems. Well, we know that's not going to happen. However, it's been really exciting to see what he's pulled off down when Gwinnett was playing in Jacksonville. I know my uncle got to catch one of the games and it was the funniest thing because he sends me a video and essentially like a scouting report of how Acuña had played that night.
Mm.
And one of them was the fact that, you know, like Acuña he hits a single and immediately, you know, steals second. And my uncle caught it on video and I posted on Twitter and people just like blew it up. They absolutely loved look, his legs look fine. Yo, legs look great. He's ready to come back. And I had John Fricke was in the studio with me when I was working a Hawks game last week. And, you know, it was kind of like, come on. I mean, there's just absolutely no reason that they can't just bring him back now. And it's like they have to ramp him up. He's not even completely playing full games yet because they don't want to overdo. This is a very delicate injury. They want to work him back slowly. I think they're working now towards him playing like back-to-back games,
yep.
That sort of thing. You know, it's just like, I don't know. How do you look at this, Joe?
No, exactly. He'll play 7 innings tonight, by the way. Tonight we're recording this on Wednesday. We should have this out by Wednesday afternoon. And then he'll play 9 innings Thursday. And then I'm curious to see what they do with him because the Stripers then have 2 more home games on Friday and Saturday. So I'll be interested to see what they do with him then, because I do think that he will be up by May 2nd. But you're right. I mean, like they have to build him up. And it's funny you mentioned Fricke. I was on the radio with him this morning, him and Hugh on the morning show talking about this situation. And it sounds silly to talk about, but you really do need to like build up your endurance in order to be able to stand around, you know, like just like to be able to stand for that long a period of time, because you think about it. You know, an athlete like him is not normally just in a standing position like that for that long of a period of time. Usually, if he's training, he's hitting a lot or doing fielding drills or whatever. He's actually moving his body. You can get a little bit stiff when you're just standing around. I think any of us who have worked a job where you're doing a lot of that, whether, you know, because I've worked at a fast food restaurant or something like that, at a grocery store, like when you're just standing around, it can actually cause some stress on the knees specifically. So they got to build the, get him ready for that.
And there's also like 142, 144 games left in the season. Like, there's a lot of games left to be played in this season, which, you know, obviously goes towards people saying, don't panic now. But for Acuna's purposes, it's like, that's a lot of games yet to be played where he needs to ramp up his endurance to be able to play in all of those. Or as many of, you know, Freddie Freeman's not here, so he doesn't have to play in all. But as many as he can. Sorry, gotta get
well
that
done,
dig
well
in.
Done.
Any chance, you know. But, you know, he's got to build up his ability so that he doesn't, because he's got, I expect he's going to come out the gates really hot. What he's doing down in Gwinnett has been hilarious. Or I should say, so far, what he's done in Jacksonville has been hilarious. Where, I mean, he was stealing any and every base he could. I think he hit a double in the same game that my uncle was at. And on a single, he ran home. Like, he was just like, I'm just going for it, you know? Like, and I have to imagine the Braves are watching the tape, you know, the next day or whatever, and just kind of like cringing at the, please, just the, calm down.
The head first slide into home and then like jumping up and like giving a bit, like, that like, big celebration. Like, I love
it. It's one of those, like, it's almost like he's trying to, I mean, I get it. From Ronald's perspective, he's done with the days of riding the bus and living the minor league life. He wants to be back in the majors, and he wants to be back with his big league club because he loves the game, truly. But it's just like, you have to imagine the all of the training staff just being like, chill. We'll bring you back. We'll bring you back, okay? Yeah. Just calm down.
It's like you're trying to like rein in a thoroughbred, you know, like trying to not get him to run so fast. It's just kind of impossible sometimes. You know, honestly, it's funny. Watching Ronald play in these AAA games has really brought into focus something for me, which is just like his talent and his competitive spirit, which is, he's on such a high level that it's no disrespect to like the other guys in AAA or whatnot, but like he clearly does not want to be there because he feels that like if he's able to play baseball, he should be doing it at the highest possible level against the highest possible competition to help his team, you know, win the highest possible achievement. And so it's just really cool to watch an athlete who plays like that. And athletes who do that are just not scared of any moment. And I think that that's Ronald Acuna Jr. to a T. Like, he'll never be overwhelmed on a baseball field. Brian Snicker said this, like, he'll just never be overwhelmed on a baseball field. He has too much fun. He has too much fun doing it because of his talent. You know, he's so good at the game. It's fun for him at all times. And he probably wants to be in the highest leverage situations possible. He wants to be in that batter's box with the game on the line, you know? And so it's just, I think that that's really come into focus watching him play the way he has in AAA. It's not like he's been like, I mean, he's been very good, especially with regards to his injury and what we want to see. Like, athletically, he looks great. So, you know, he doesn't have any home runs or anything yet, but, you know, you can just see that he's ready for the next challenge, which is going to be coming up to the majors and helping the Braves, which they desperately need his help.
Yeah, well, so we go from one guy who is coming back from injury to another guy in the outfield who is headed towards the injury list, or he's already on there, honestly. Eddie Rosario. This was a strange one, Joe. Because you know what I don't like about what happened with this Eddie Rosario injury? It brought out the conspiracy theorist in me, which doesn't appear very often.
Not just you. I've heard it from multiple people.
It doesn't appear very often. I'm not one to jump into the we never landed on the moon or blah 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 whatever type of stuff, but Eddie Rosario hitting the injured list for what they're listing as might be 8 to 12 weeks for swelling in his right eye, and he's gonna have laser eye correction surgery to fix at least his right eye. I don't know if it was, they didn't really clarify if it's both, but specifically we know it's his right eye.
It's the right eye, yeah.
Yeah, that's having corrective surgery and has been dealing with swelling. When you saw this, first thought in your head, because I'll give you mine in a minute.
I actually thought it made a lot of sense. I was like, okay, this explains why not only has he been so bad at the plate, which, you know, that it's been well documented so far, but to me, the one that stands out is that terrible error that he had in San Diego where he was camped under a fly ball and he just missed it. Yeah. And like, you never, ever see that in the major leagues. Not like a guy who's like literally just camped underneath the ball and it just goes off his glove. Almost never, I should say. So that was shocking. And I was wondering why that happened. So when I heard about the eye thing, I was like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. And by the way, we should say off the top, all of our best wishes to Eddie Rosario in getting Absolutely. This fixed, because yeah. a retina issue, they say he's having laser surgery on the retina. That's a very important part of, I mean, it essentially is your eye. It's like functioning, it's like translating what you see into your visual field into your brain so that you can compute it. So it's a very important part. It's actually almost like kind of the brain. So hope he recovers. But with that said, let's hear the conspiracy theory.
Okay. Well, it was just the fact of, what was he hitting, like 056 or 068, something like that. Like, it was, you know, terrible, terrible, terrible numbers. The Braves gave him, I wouldn't say a large contract.
068.
But 068. Okay. I was about to say that was in one of my flashes the other day. But so hitting terribly, Braves just gave him a 2-year deal. So he's at least signed through next season. You're hitting this poorly, you start going through the checklist of what could it be. And I think, honestly, one of the first things you go to is your mentals. You know, hey, everything good in your head. You know, you need to go see a sports psychologist. Is something off? Like, do we need to get that checked? Okay. And then, I mean, your body, you start going to, hey, you got any aches and pains? I think we joked at one point of a couple weeks ago, or maybe just a week ago, of seeing Eddie Rosario like hit the injured list for, you know, some like unspecified things so they could bring somebody else up, because it was like it had reached that level. Mm-hmm. Especially him and Alex Dickerson, as poorly as they were both hitting. But then I think you reach the eyes, and because I think someone asked Dave O'Brien about this on Twitter, you brought this to my attention about, hey, he gets a physical done at the beginning of the season. Like, how do they miss this? And the thought, at least, is, well, they maybe didn't miss it, but maybe this is something that's popped up since he had that physical at the beginning of spring training. I'm just wondering if this is something that's been bugging Eddie Rosario, not the swelling, but the needing corrective vision sort of thing. If this has been something that's bothered him for a while. And when you just start performing this poorly, you start going down the, could it be? And like, should we just go ahead and it? I mean, it is a long season and you're hitting this poorly. You're not helping the team. Let's go ahead. Let's get you the corrective surgery and see if this is it. You know, that's a bad pun. But honestly, let's try and see if this is the issue. Exhausting all of their resources to try to best help Eddie, because he was a big signing and is going to be a part of this team for much longer than this season. That's why I start going into the conspiracy mode a bit of like, is this really the issue, or is this just something they're addressing because every part of his game had gotten so poor.
Is it something he was dealing with, but it's only now getting to the point where it's like really tangibly affecting him on the field? Yeah, I got you. Who knows? I mean, maybe. Because sometimes a lot of these things with eyes, I mean, I'm no doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. they are kind of degenerative, or they just like they get worse and worse over time. So sometimes they're not an acute thing. But to the point, the Dave O'Brien tweet where he was responding to somebody a couple days ago, he seemed to indicate that it was something that happened specifically to him, like after during spring or sometime after, you know, the team had started training together in spring training. So I don't really have a whole lot to add other than that. I feel like the Braves will benefit from this move just because of how bad he was. Like, pretty much anybody is going to be better than what he was providing with his 0.068 batting average. And maybe it looks like that guy's going to be Travis DeMeritt, who had a great night last night.
I was just about to say, you know, I said a week ago, and I still stand by my point, even though I realize the reality is Michael Harris is still too young. He's still too fresh into his career to really be given a shot. I still think he'd perform really well if given the shot, and I still think the Braves should do it, but that's because that's the move that I would make. That's not the move that I think that this Braves team will make. They're going to be more cautious. Bringing up Travis DeMeritt, perfect opportunity of a guy. It's funny how it worked where DeMeritt actually gets brought up because of Austin Riley having a kid, and they needed DeMeritt to be there to cover third. And then, boom, oh, hey, how convenient. You know, we need you to go play another position you're pretty comfortable with out in right field. And he's done pretty decent job so far.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I haven't seen every fielding play that he's had, but I haven't heard anybody complain about the fielding issues.
Yeah, no, he had a great night last night. He had a sliding catch in foul territory, which was kind of like the defensive highlight for the Braves in the game. And then, of course, it's the home run to the chop house, which was great. And he had a really cool moment with a fan where he like high-fived her when he came around the bases. It was really cool. And it was also cool, Caleb, last night to talk to some of the guys in the clubhouse. We talked to Max Fried, and he played with Travis DeMeritt in Mississippi because DeMeritt's been a guy who's been a little bit all over the place. He came up, well, he was drafted by the Rangers. The Braves ended up picking him up, and he spent most of his time with the Braves in the minors, but then the Braves flipped him to Detroit for Shane Green when they picked up Shane Green in the, you know, the reliever in the 2019 season. Then he came up, had a cup of coffee with the Tigers, but has still struggled. Tigers obviously let him go, and Braves reclaimed him. So it's been kind of cool to hear from Max and you know, just kind of him reminisce about like the player that DeMeritt was when they were together in AA, and just kind of cool for it. Felt like everything was kind of coming full circle, and he's from here too, so he kind of grew up a Braves fan, and just a really kind of cool moment for him, and hopefully it can be something that kind of gives him a bit of a launching pad for him to stay up for a while, because I think he will be. I mean, as much as we wanted like one of these bright young prospects, because we can't wait to see these guys always, it seems like it's going to be Travis DeMeritt who's earning his spot to stay up here for a while. So good for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny too. The Braves are really going all in on the hometown kids. Like, they're just, you know, are you from the state of Georgia? Cool, we want you. You know, yeah. That's what it's kind of felt like. And I felt like the Harris, like bringing up Michael Harris is one of those. They've been willing to, as I said a couple weeks ago, like take the tags off of some of these minor league players, and maybe pull guys before they're truly ready. Like, I mean, bringing up Spencer Strider, bringing up Bryce Elder, these are guys who, in all reality, aren't ready yet, but they're showing that they can perform on the highest level, which is why I'm like, okay, I mean, so Michael Harris can too, at least I think so. But given all of that, not having to take the tags off of Michael Harris and saving and getting another year of control, because, you know, baseball general managers love that, and getting this out of Travis DeMeritt still coincides with my overall theory that I think the biggest thing the Braves will do this year is get more out of their own guys than just making some like big splashy trades of bringing in other guys like they did last year. I think it just seems like this is more of a season of find out what you have from your own. A guy like Travis DeMeritt who was playing down in Gwinnett and who really didn't have a role. But like you said, I mean, anything was better than what you were getting out of Eddie Rosario and Alex Dickerson. And it seems like in his small sample size that he's showing that.
Yeah, I kind of joked after the Eddie Rosario news broke. That's like, well, at least Alex Anthopoulos has experience in, you know, shopping for an outfield. But in this case, I think that, you know, he doesn't necessarily need to go out and buy from outside the market. Like, I think that he's got some solutions, maybe, you know, internal. And one that hasn't really been discussed, which, at least that I've seen, I mean, I'm sure everybody's always talking about him a little bit, but Drew Waters, it seems like, you know, and I know that he's banged up. I think he's dealing with a hamstring right now, so he's not totally healthy. But, you know, this seems like the perfect time for him to come up to this team. It's like he's not blocked, you know, but it just seems like the performance isn't there. You know, it's like weird how he's kind of been this almost mythical creature within the Braves farm system, always held up as like this, you know, the next, I've heard him compared to like Chipper Jones and stuff like that. But the strikeout rate has always been high in the minors. I think that that's something that concerns the Braves. And it's just interesting to me that he's not the name that a lot of people, not just you, Caleb, but a lot, I see a lot of fans who are, who have, Michael Harris has essentially vaulted Drew Waters in terms of like who people want to see more.
And I was actually having this discussion with somebody a couple of days ago after they saw me talk about, hey, I think the Braves should bring up Michael Harris. And someone said to me, well, I mean, if the Braves aren't going to bring up Drew Waters, they need to just trade him. And my response was, for what? I mean, honestly, like that is the tough position that they are in with Drew Waters. And I think the reason why they're going to keep him right where he's at, first off, not healthy. So you're not going to trade an injured player, but also just kind of not entirely sure what you're going to get out of him yet. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I mean, he's a guy that he's now a guy you would have to package with other players if you were to make any sort of trade. Like he is not the main part of any sort of deal, because you even think about, I mean, look how even how well Christian Pache is performing for Oakland, but they packaged Pache and Shane Langeliers in that deal to go get Matt Olson and to pay his contract. You know, like I don't, it's just not that simple of, hey, well, we're not using Drew Waters, so we need to just trade him and go get something good for him. Like it doesn't quite always work that easy.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Braves outfield, but they certainly kind of need help right now, and at least they're going to get it soon with Acuña, but we'll see if they need more. Caleb, I wanted to I want to do a little thing. I'm calling this a health check on the rotation. I just wanted to kind of go through the guys right now and just get some quick thoughts on all of them.
Okay.
Kind of your opinion of each of them from how they performed so far this season. So we can just start off with Max Fried, who pitched last night for the Braves. Another good start, his second in a row, not as good as the one before where he had a, you know, perfect game going through until Knox Bardeen jinxed him, but still a good outing. And I think it shows that he's on the right trajectory.
So my whole thing about Max Fried has been, I said this before the season started, you know, we talked about, oh, do the Braves have any Cy Young candidates? And I said, no, because Max Fried is the number one. He's not going to be terrible. Like, he is a really, really, really good starting pitcher. He is just not in the category of the best in the National League, which is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Like, you don't have to have the best pitcher in baseball to win another championship. You didn't have to have it to win a championship last year. So that's where I'm at with Max Fried, is just like really good, is going to have some poor performances every now and then really solid nights like he did last night where, you know, he's not going for a no hitter or anything, but just about as solid as you can get, six innings out of a guy and only giving up a run, you know, essentially probably gets to the microphone and says, ah, if I had that one pitch back, you know, it's a completely different night. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So just nothing that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the whole Cy Young thing. It's like not everybody needs to be a Cy Young contender. You know, he can be perfectly fine being like one of the top 15 starters in baseball, even though he's kind of probably clearly not one of the top three or four. You know, that's totally fine. Still very, very good pitcher. Charlie Morton going tonight. Been a little bit of a different story. I'm a little bit concerned, and I'll always be concerned when Charlie Morton struggles just because of his age. I don't know. Are you with me? Do you think he's going to get a turnaround?
I don't know, Joe. I remember, and I'd have to pull the tape back last season when they gave him the new contract, the 2-year deal. Everybody was like, oh, this is such a smart deal. I mean, come on. This is a no-brainer. The Braves have to bring back Charlie Morton. And I went, you're signing a 40-year-old? Like, I don't care. I don't care how good he is. I mean, he's not Tom Brady, you know? Like you're signing a 40-year-old pitcher. He's 39 this year. He'll turn 40. Like, that's always going to make me uncomfortable. And so, yes, especially when he comes out and granted, I'll hear him out. He's come post game a couple of times and been like, essentially, it was a matter of three pitches that completely changed his night. And how many times did we see that last season?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like, I mean, just one
inning. You had that one inning.
And I'll go even a step further, Joe. You know, there was a certain New York Met that came out yesterday, New York Met pitcher, who ripped Major League Baseball for the fact that baseballs are not the same between innings. He was like, I'm throwing one baseball in the third inning and I'm throwing a different one in the fourth. And that made my head explode because I was like, holy cow. I mean, look at some of these guys' performances and go, man, he had really good stuff until he reached the fifth inning and then it all fell apart. And I was like, is he throwing with a different baseball?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Did that change? You know, I mean, honestly, and I get no excuses, blah, 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 whatever. But that's just something in the back of my mind when it comes to Charlie Morton, I'm amongst every other guy, but Charlie specifically, where I'm just kind of like, huh, I wonder, just because he can have such good command and then it kind of gets out of nowhere. But nevertheless, yes, age will always be a concern with him and something that until he has 3 to 4 consistent starts together, I'm just going to be nervous every time he goes.
I agree. I mean, you know, we talk about him having that the one inning, which was like the mantra of everybody talking about him last year. But the problem was that sometimes those innings would happen in like the first or second inning. And if that does, then he's got to be yanked. And then it kind of throws you all out of whack in terms of having to use the bullpen and all that. So that can be a problem. I would say I am concerned about the age. I don't think it's primarily the reason why we're seeing the performances from him so far. I think this is just kind of part of who Charlie Morton is, like we've talked about. And I think the one thing that kind of gives me, that kind of eases my concern a little bit is just that the stuff still looks very good. Like it's not like he's dropping velocity on the fastball. Like that would be a serious indication to me that maybe the age or there's some sort of problem. There doesn't seem to be any indication of that. It seems to me like it's just one of those early season things where he's just still trying to find the release point consistently, trying to, you know, just find his footing and gain consistency. So we'll see. Hopefully he can turn around tonight. Speaking of a guy who kind of needs to turn around or is, I think he's kind of turning around, is Ian Anderson. Obviously he started from a very low floor and I think he's been improving, but considering where he was starting from, he's still not the same Ian Anderson. But I got to say that I have been heartened by, you know, the moderate improvements that he's made, the last couple starts basing off of where he was when he first started, which was really rough.
I was about to say, is he improving? I mean, I just,
the velocity's back up. His first start of the season, the velocity was down, which was a concern.
Yeah, well, I think his first start, he didn't even make it out of the third inning.
Yeah.
And so now we've at least gone, you know, you're getting 5 or so out of him. This one troubles me the most. Ian Anderson is like, you want to talk about putting a red flag on a guy? From where we were last year, and then when we eked into the postseason and we didn't see his best stuff, and now he's starting this year and we're still not seeing his best stuff. The whole idea of this kid just has it. He's got the confidence. He's got it figured out. Not really feeling it there so much anymore. You know, it's purely based on, I mean, obviously he's what lost, 2 of his starts, he's got a 1-1 win-loss record, but
yep.
That first game, obviously, they pulled him before, you know, he made it through 3. It's just, I don't feel comfortable with him.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I'm just not, it's not the same confidence level. It's honestly, it's completely swapped with him and Kyle Wright. Every time, it's funny, every time Kyle Wright goes out there now, I have no concern.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just so bizarre because now every time that Ian Anderson goes out there, I go, not too sure.
Dude,
not sure.
It's so good. Kyle Wright, man.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for him too, because it really seems like he has turned a corner and he's just in a different headspace, which is one of confidence.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny too, because it's also brought out those like, I saw it the whole time, man. I told Braves should have never given up on Kyle Wright. You know, like we all knew this is the guy he could be. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. Like, what? No, everybody was, I mean, comfortably willing to cut bait on Kyle Wright because the confidence wasn't there. He was walking guys. He was having the same problems that, I mean, he was coming up at the same time as Ian Anderson, as Bryce, not Elder, Wilson.
Yeah, Bryce yeah. Wilson.
You know, he was coming up at the same time as Bryce Wilson, Ian Anderson, and he and Bryce were both struggling while it looked like Ian Anderson had promise, and even, you know, that was bringing up Tucker Davidson, and Tucker Davidson was showing that he had some promise, and all, you know, Waskari Noah was you know, a completely different guy at that time. Like things change, but don't come out here acting like all of us who were calling for him to be another guy shipped out of here were crazy. Like he didn't have the confidence. He didn't have the command. Now he does. And I'm so glad because honestly, I mean, Braves desperately need what he is bringing every fifth day or sixth day, I guess I should say. But I mean, they need that. And I have I have reached the level now with Kyle Wright. I am no longer thinking, is this the start that it goes poorly?
Right, right.
It may happen. Yeah. It could, but I'm just not thinking that anymore.
Even if it does happen, he's slated to pitch the last game of this series against the Cubs. Even if he like does get hit around or something, like, yeah, I'm with you where I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. Like, it's not going to be a trend, I don't think. I think that what we've seen so far is just a continuation of the guy that we started to see, you know, when he came in the World Series last year, which is great to see. And it's funny, when you look at his FIP, his fielding independent pitching, that's supposed to kind of take the volatility out of the ERA, and sure, it's actually less. It's a 0.72 FIP versus his 1.06 ERA. So while we're obviously still very early in the season, he's only faced 66 batters. That's still just incredibly impressive to see. So good job for Kyle. And then finally, Bryce Elder. He's kind of one who started strong and has started to sputter a little bit. I still am a little bit encouraged by the way he's been able to manage his last start, even though he walked like six guys, I think, in that start?
It was bad. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, terribly inefficient, but he still made it through, and he still, at the end of the day, gave the team a chance to win. I don't think he's going to be in the starting rotation the entire season. You know, I think he'll probably lose the job at some point, but I got to be happy with what he's been able to provide the team with so far.
Yeah, I think both Bryce Elder and Spencer Strider now have had their moment of, oh, okay, they're like, they aren't perfect, you know, they aren't these just they aren't machines that come out there and just, you know, well, Bryce Elder's never mowing anybody down, but just the fact of he was coming out there and looked so good in that first start, and he was backed up by his first start. The Braves scored 16 runs, you know, so
yeah.
You do that and everybody just feels really comfortable. I actually didn't realize, Joe, his second start in San Diego, he walked five guys.
Yeah, he did.
In that game, and then gone on to walk six. So yeah, you have to kind of watch the command and wonder how long this thing's gonna stick around. The thing that Bryce Elder has on his side is simply the fact of, who are you gonna go to? Like, it's not like you're gonna, at least I wouldn't, not like you're gonna start Tukey. Waskari Noah clearly has got to work through some stuff down in Gwinnett, so he gets some time. Mm-hmm. Although I still want to see a Spencer Strider start.
Yeah.
I still want to see a Tucker Davidson start. And yet we're kind of being held from that for the time being. However, if there is a move to be made, if Bryce struggles again in his next start, I think that's going to be it for a while.
I think Strider would be next in line to get the start. Like, if they need to replace Elder, I think the easiest, best move for the Braves would be to use Spencer Strider. But
I don't think they will. I've heard too many people around the Braves organization and people who talk to important people, Peter Moylan being one of them, who said they see they see essentially a Jesse Chavez kind of situation. Like, Spencer Strider could be an opener.
As much as I want him to be I want him to be a starter, I want to see him actually start a game. I don't hate the way that they've used him in that role this season. I feel like he's still been a weapon for the team, like, in a positive way. He's been pitching, you know, long relief innings in terms of his outings, but he's been in close games. It's not like he's not getting thrown into these games where they're already down and out of it, you know? So, he's actually been useful in that respect.
Yeah. And that's why I would love to see him start. I would love to see him open. However, it seems more likely that the Braves kind of like using, just because he's got, I mean, throwing 101, you know, and just smoking it past guys. And when you can pull that out and use that at a moment's notice in an important game versus just getting him a start every fifth day, I understand it, even if I don't agree.
Yeah. It's so fun that the Braves have their own toy that can throw 100.
Yeah.
It's fun. We've been waiting for one. All right, you want to get into some quick hits before we get out of here? I know we got to wrap up in a few minutes, but I just thought there were some interesting things. MLB will allow teams to carry 14 pitchers through May 29th,
We just change the rules whenever we want, you know? Honestly, Joe, the thing that I said to you the other day, the fact that, you know, our president has kept pushing back the moratorium on the student loan debt repayment has definitely been a benefit to at least one of the people on this podcast. I don't know about you, but I know me. Every time I see that date get pushed back, I'm like, hey, cool. You know,
not against this.
I say all that to say, it's just funny to watch Major League Baseball be like, we're monitoring the health and safety of our players.
Yes.
And we decide we're going to push this thing back a month. And I honestly wouldn't be completely surprised if somewhere towards the end of May, if they're like, yeah, we're going to kick this thing to the end of June or something like that. It's just one of those.
And it probably helps every team, you know?
Yeah, so. Honestly, because you need more arms because guys clearly aren't as stretched out.
I think teams like just having the extra arm for when they get blown out, they just need trash innings to get thrown, you know?
Well, and honestly, Joe, I wonder about a shift in just this rule in general because we don't have any pitchers hitting anymore. We don't need so many position players because you don't have as many pinch hitters.
Mm-hmm.
With the designated hitter, you would rather use it more on arms. So it does make sense that, we're shifting from a May 2nd having to trim rosters to only hold 13 pitchers to now they can carry 14 through May 29th.
I don't
know how much it changes for the Braves,
right?
But
I think a lot of people, you just got to remember, the rosters will still be trimmed. This is just the amount of how many pitchers you're allowed to carry. So when we figure in Acuna and all that stuff, that all's going to pretty much stay the same.
I was about to say, it might make it a little tricky for the Braves, because obviously what's going on with their outfield situation, that, you know, having to trim rosters, not exactly the most convenient thing for them right now, although I think they'll manage just fine because there's a bunch of arms that the Braves have that they're not even touching.
I was going to say, I actually think the Braves might go with 13 even though they're allowed 14 because Jackson Stevens, they can just option Jackson Stevens.
And William Woods, they just brought him up the other night.
Yeah.
It's just one of those that, it seems like guys that...
He's another guy who can throw 100, by the way. William Woods. So that'll be fun.
I've heard the name. I haven't, honestly, just haven't paid much attention to him.
Yeah.
But a guy, you know, guys that they might cycle through later in the summer kind of thing, but that they don't particularly need right now.
Yeah. Really quickly, because we only have a minute left. Dead ball. This was just in my head last night because there was four balls at the warning track. And you mentioned it earlier, and I just want to say, I went back and read the passing piece because we were talking about it last night. All 30 MLB teams are using the humidor this season, which potentially could play part of this. But the interesting thing is that he said that the humidor, the purpose of the humidor is not so much to deaden the ball as it is to make the balls more consistent, which goes in direct opposite to what you were saying earlier with the certain Mets pitcher who was talking about the inconsistency. So
Chris Bassitt is the one who addressed the media last night, he completely ripped them. He said MLB has a very big problem with baseballs. They're bad. Everyone knows it. They don't care. He had some additional colorful language to add to what he was saying. But essentially, like, he talked about, you know, like the threads. You know, I mean, you're yeah. dealing with height of the baseball. And now that, we are back to watching guys like Garrett Cole. You got sticky stuff again. You know, like,
there was some science done in 2019 when the ball was flying, saying that it was like more spherical, like the laces yeah. were not protruding as much, so it was more aerodynamic. So yeah, I wonder if that has something to do with it.
But it seems like,
Caleb, I wanted to do a little thing. I'm calling this a health check on the rotation. I just wanted to kind of go through the guys right now and just get some quick thoughts on all of them.
Okay.
Kind of your opinion of each of them from how they performed so far this season. So, well, we can just start off with Max Fried, who pitched last night for the Braves. Another good start, his second in a row. Not as good as the one before, where he had a, you know, perfect game going through until Nox Bardeen jinxed him, but yeah. still a good outing, and I think it shows that he's on the right trajectory.
So my whole thing about Max Fried has been, I said this before the season started, you know, we talked about, oh, do the Braves have any Cy Young candidates, and I said no, because Max Fried is the number one. He's not going to be terrible. Like, he is a really, really, really good starting pitcher. He is just not in the category of the best in the mm-hmm, National sure. League, mm-hmm. which is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. Like, you don't have to have the best pitcher in baseball to win another championship. You didn't have to have it to win a championship last year. So that's where I'm at with Max Fried, is just like, really good, is gonna have some poor performances every now and then. And then really solid nights like he did last night, where you know, yeah. He's not going for a no-hitter or anything, but just about as solid as you can get. Six innings out of a guy and only giving up a run. You know, essentially probably gets to the microphone and says, if I had that one pitch back, you know, it's a completely different night. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So just nothing that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the whole Cy Young thing. It's like, not everybody needs to be a yeah. Cy Young contender. You know, he can yeah. be perfectly fine being like one of the top 15 starters in baseball, even though he's kind of probably clearly not one of the top three or four. You know, that's totally sure. fine. Still very, very good pitcher. Charlie Morton going tonight, been a little bit Oof. Of a different story. I'm a little yeah. bit concerned, and I'll always be concerned when Charlie Morton struggles just because of his age. I don't know. Are you with it? Do you think he's going to get a turnaround?
I don't know, Joe. I remember, and I'd have to pull the tape back, last season when they gave him the new contract, the 2-year deal, everybody was like, oh, this is such a smart deal. I mean, come on. This is a no-brainer. The Braves have to bring back Charlie Morton. And I went, you're signing a 40-year-old? Like, I don't care. I don't care how good he is. I mean, he's not Tom Brady. You know, like you're signing a 40-year-old pitcher. He's 39 this year. He'll turn 40. Like, that's always going to make me uncomfortable. And so, yes, especially when he comes out. And granted, I'll hear him out. He's come post-game a couple of times and been like, essentially, it was a matter of three pitches that completely changed his night. And how many times did we see that last season
yeah, yep.
where it was like, I mean, just one
inning. You had that one inning.
And I'll go even a step further, Joe. You know, there was a certain New York Met that came out yesterday, New York Met pitcher, who ripped Major League Baseball for the fact that baseballs are not the same between innings. He was like, I'm throwing one baseball in the third inning and I'm throwing a different one in the fourth. And that made my head explode, because I was like, holy cow. I mean, look at some of these guys' performances and go, man, he had really good stuff until he reached the fifth inning and then it all fell apart. And I was like, is he throwing with a different baseball?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Did that change? You know, I mean, honestly, and I get no excuses, blah, 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 whatever. But that's just something in the back of my mind when it comes to Charlie Morton, amongst every other guy. But Charlie specifically, where I'm just kind of like, I wonder, just because he can have such good command and then it kind of gets out of nowhere. But nevertheless, yes, age will always be a concern with him, and something that until he has 3 to 4 consistent starts together, I'm just going to be nervous every time he goes.
I agree. I mean, you know, we talk about him having that the one inning, which was like the mantra of everybody talking about him last year. But the problem was that sometimes those innings would happen in like the first or second inning. And if that does, then he's got to be yanked. And then it kind of throws you all out of whack in terms of having to use the bullpen and all that. So that can be a problem. I would say I am concerned about the age. I don't think it's primarily the reason why we're seeing the performances from him so far. I think this is just kind of part of who Charlie Morton is, like we've talked about. And I think the one thing that kind of gives me, that kind of eases my concern a little bit, is just that the stuff still looks very good. Like it's not like he's dropping velocity on the fastball. Like that would be a serious indication to me that maybe the age or there's some sort of problem. There doesn't seem to be any indication of that. It seems to me like it's just one of those early season things where he's just still trying to find the release point consistently, trying to, you know, just find his footing and gain consistency. So we'll see. Hopefully he can turn around tonight. Speaking of a guy who kind of needs to turn around, or is, I think he's kind of turning around, is Ian Anderson. Obviously, he started from a very low floor, and I think he's been improving, but considering where he was starting from, he's still not the same Ian Anderson. But I got to say that I have been heartened by, you know, the moderate improvements that he's made the last couple starts basing off of where he was when he first started, which was really rough.
I was about to say, is he improving? I mean, I just,
the velocity's back up. His first start of the season, the velocity was down, which was a concern.
Yeah, well, I think his first start, he didn't even make it out of the third inning.
Yeah.
And so now we've at least gone, you know, you're getting 5 or so out of him. This one troubles me the most. Ian Anderson is like, you want to talk about putting a red flag on a guy? From where we were last year, and then when we eked into the postseason and we didn't see his best stuff, and now he's starting this year and we're still not seeing his best stuff. The whole idea of this kid just has it. He's got the confidence. He's got it figured out. Not really feeling it there so much anymore. You know, it's just, and it's purely based on, I mean, obviously, he's what lost, 2 of his starts, he's got a 1-1 win-loss record, but
yep.
That first game, obviously, they pulled him before, you know, he made it through 3. It's just, I don't feel comfortable with him.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I'm just not, it's not the same confidence level. It's honestly, it's completely swapped with him and Kyle Wright. Every time, it's funny, every time Kyle Wright goes out there now, I have no concern.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just so bizarre because now every time that Ian Anderson goes out there, I go, not too sure.
Dude,
not sure.
It's so good. Kyle Wright, man.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for him too, because it really seems like he has turned a corner and he's just in a different headspace, which is one of confidence.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny too, because it's also brought out those like, I saw it the whole time, man. I told Braves should have never given up on Kyle Wright. You know, like we all knew this is the guy he could be. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. Like, what? No, everybody was comfortably willing to cut bait on Kyle Wright because the confidence wasn't there. He was walking guys. He was having the same problems he was coming up at the same time as Ian Anderson, as Bryce, not Elder. Wilson.
Yeah, Bryce yeah. Wilson.
You know, he was coming up at the same time as Bryce Wilson, Ian Anderson, and he and Bryce were both struggling while it looked like Ian Anderson had promise, and even, you know, they're bringing up Tucker Davidson, and Tucker Davidson was showing that he had some promise, and all, you know, Waskari Noah was you know, a completely different guy at that time. Like things change, but don't come out here acting like all of us who were calling for him to be another guy shipped out of here were crazy. Like he didn't have the confidence. He didn't have the command. Now he does. And I'm so glad, because honestly, I mean, Braves desperately need what he is bringing every fifth day or sixth day, I guess I should say. But I mean, they need that. And I have no I have reached the level now with Kyle Wright. I am no longer thinking, is this the start that it goes poorly?
Right, right.
It may happen. Yeah. It could, but I'm just not thinking that anymore.
Even if it does happen, he's slated to pitch the last game of this series against the Cubs. Even if he like does get hit around or something, like yeah, I'm with you where I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. Like it's not going to be a trend, I don't think. I think that what we've seen so far is just a continuation of the guy that we started to see, you know, when he came in the World Series last year, which is great to see. And it's funny when you look at his FIP, his fielding independent pitching, that's supposed to kind of take the volatility out of the ERA, and sure. It's actually less. It's a 0.72 FIP versus his 1.06 ERA. So while we're obviously still very early in the season, he's only faced 66 batters. That's still just incredibly impressive to see. So good job for Kyle. And then finally, Bryce Elder. He's kind of one who started strong and has started to sputter a little bit. I still am a little bit encouraged by the way he's been able to manage his last start, even though he walked. Did he walk like six guys, I think, in that start?
It was bad. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, terribly inefficient, but he still made it through, and he still, at the end of the day, gave the team a chance to win. I don't think he's going to be in the starting rotation the entire season. You know, I think he'll probably lose the job at some point, but I mean, got to be happy with what he's been able to provide the team with so far.
Yeah, I think both Bryce Elder and Spencer Strider now have had their moment of, oh, okay, they're like they aren't perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. They aren't these just they aren't machines that come out there and just, you know, well, Bryce Elder's never mowing anybody down, but just the fact of he was coming out there and looked so good in that first start, and he was backed up by his first start. The Braves scored 16 runs, you know, so
yeah.
You do that and everybody just feels really comfortable. I actually didn't realize, Joe, his second start in San Diego, he walked five guys.
Yeah, he did.
In that game, and then gone on to walk six. So yeah, you have to kind of watch the command and wonder how long this thing's gonna stick around. The thing that Bryce Elder has on his side is simply the fact of who are you gonna go to? Like, it's not like you're gonna, at least I wouldn't, not like you're gonna start Tukey. Waskari Noah clearly has got to work through some stuff down in Gwinnett, so he gets some time. Mm-hmm. Although I still want to see a Spencer Strider start.
Yeah.
I still want to see a Tucker Davidson start. And yet we're kind of being held from that for the time being. However, if there is a move to be made, if Bryce struggles again in his next start, I think that's going to be it for a while.
I think Strider would be next in line to get the start. Like if they need to replace Elder, I think the easiest, best move for the Braves would be to use Spencer Strider. But
I don't think they will. I've heard too many people around the Braves organization and people who talk to important people, Peter Moylan being one of them, who said they see they see essentially a Jesse Chavez kind of situation. Like, Spencer Strider could be an opener.
I want him to be a starter. I want to see him actually start a game. I don't hate the way that they've used him in that role this season. I feel like he's still been a weapon for the team, like, in a positive way. He's been pitching, you know, long relief innings in terms of his outings, but he's been in close games. It's not like he's not getting thrown into these games where they're already down and out of it, you know? So he's actually been useful in that respect.
Yeah. And that's why I would love to see him start. I would love to see him open. However, it seems more likely that the Braves kind of like using just because he's got, I mean, throwing 101, you know, and just smoking it past guys. And when you can pull that out and use that at a moment's notice in an important game versus just getting him a start every fifth day, I understand it, even if I don't agree.
Yeah. Honestly, it's so fun that the Braves have their own toy that can throw 100.
Yeah.
It's fun. We've been waiting for one. All right, you want to get into some quick hits before we get out of here? I know we got to wrap up in a few minutes, but I just thought there were some interesting things. MLB will allow teams to carry 14 pitchers through May 29th,
change the rules whenever we want. Honestly, Joe, the thing that I said to you the other day, the fact that, you know, our president has kept pushing back the moratorium on the student loan debt repayment has definitely been a benefit to at least one of the people on this podcast. I don't know about you, but I know me. It's just, every time I see that date get pushed back, I'm like, hey, cool. You know,
not against this.
I say all that to say, it's just funny to watch Major League Baseball be like, we're monitoring the health and safety of our players.
Yes.
And we decide we're going to push this thing back a month. And I honestly wouldn't be completely surprised if somewhere towards the end of May, if they're like, yeah, we're going to kick this thing to the end of June or something like that. It's just one of those.
And it probably helps every team, you know?
Yeah, so. Honestly, because you need more arms because guys clearly aren't as stretched out.
I think teams like just having the extra arm for when they get blown out, they just need innings to get thrown, you know?
Well, and honestly, Joe, I wonder about a shift in just this rule in general because we don't have any pitchers hitting anymore. We don't need so many position players because you don't have as many pinch hitters.
Mm-hmm.
With the designated hitter, you would rather use it more on arms. So it does make sense that, we're shifting from a May 2nd having to trim rosters to only hold 13 pitchers to now they can carry 14 through May 29th.
I don't
know how much it changes for the Braves,
right?
But
I think a lot of people you just got to remember the rosters will still be trimmed. This is just the amount of how many pitchers you're allowed to carry. So when we figure in Acuna and all that stuff, that all's going to pretty much stay the same.
I was about to say it might make it a little tricky for the Braves because obviously what's going on with their outfield situation that having to trim rosters. Not exactly the most convenient thing for them right now, although I think they'll manage just fine because there's a bunch of arms that the Braves have that they're not even touching.
I was going to say, I actually think the Braves might go with 13, even though they're allowed 14, because Jackson Stevens, they can just option Jackson Stevens.
And William Woods, they just brought him up the other night.
Yeah.
It's just one of those that, it seems like guys that...
he's another guy who might throw 100, by the way. William Woods. So that'll be fun.
I've heard the name. I haven't, honestly, just haven't paid much attention to him.
Yeah.
But a guy, guys that they might cycle through later in the summer kind of thing, but that they don't particularly need right now.
Yeah. Really quickly, because we only have a minute left. Dead ball. This was just in my head last night because there was four balls hit the warning track. And you mentioned it earlier, and I just want to say, I went back and read the passing piece, because we were talking about it last night. All 30 MLB teams are using the humidor this season, which potentially could play part of this. But the interesting thing is that he said that the humidor, the purpose of the humidor is not so much to deaden the ball as it is to make the balls more consistent, which goes in direct opposite to what you were saying earlier with the certain Mets pitcher who talking about the inconsistency. So
yeah, Chris Bassitt is the one who addressed the media last night. He completely ripped him. He said MLB has a very big problem with baseballs. They're bad. Everyone knows it. They don't care. He had some additional colorful language to add to what he was saying, but essentially he talked about the threads, you're dealing with height of the baseball, and now we are back to watching guys like Garrett Cole. You got sticky stuff again,
There was some science done in 2019 when the ball was flying, saying that it was more spherical, the laces were not protruding as much, so it was more aerodynamic. So I wonder if that has something to do with it.
But it seems like the pitchers are saying to Major League Baseball, hey, there's no consistency, and maybe these humidors are an attempt to try to make them somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. So guys know what they're throwing, because that's just insane to think that you could go ball to ball, and it's such an exact science. And Bassitt's comments came after guys getting hit in the face. He doesn't want guys getting hit. No major league pitcher really wants to hit guys.
Yeah.
Unless you're Don Mattingly. Yeah. But it's
Max Fried drilled a guy last night.
It's something to keep an eye on. That's just so wild. You just don't see in other sports, and it's something that Major League Baseball needs to get a grip on. And yet I'm not so sure they will, just because Rob Manfred's still in charge. So, well, there we go.
Last thing, I just want to mainly give a shout out to Austin Riley for being like this season's early season MVP front runner. The guy's absolutely incredible. His average exit velocity, 94th percentile, hard hit percentage, 96th percentile in MLB, expected batting average, 94th percentile, expected slugging percentage, 99th percentile, 91st percentile in barrel percentage, just across the board, just killing it. So great job, Austin Riley. I thought he would underperform. We both talked about him being our underperformer this year, but he's just picking up where he left off. So good for him.
It's one of those I never mind being wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
This
exactly.
direction. Yeah, you know, exactly. when it's a guy overperforming or just continuing to have a really consistent season, yeah, keep it going. Thanks everybody for listening into Batter Up. Catch us next week as we finish out this homestand and head on the road. The Braves do, and we'll see. Do we have more concerns next week, or maybe a little bit relieved? Yeah, right. But everybody, thanks for listening to Batter Up. For my co-host, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Take care.